Back on downtown here on a Wednesday afternoon, live at Seasons Main Street, Bangor, in our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Rich Kimble here with you, and on the telephone, the voice of ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball joins us, Dan Shulman. Welcome back to downtown.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. My, it's been quite a week in baseball here with the trade deadline, and then maybe the biggest news of this week, the departure, though it wasn't unexpected, of Dave Dombrowski from Detroit, and teams lining up for the services of the guy who might be the most valuable free agent out there. Where do you think he ends up?
You know, baseball is so unpredictable. It's hard to make anything more than an educated guess at this. I think the Angels are a team you have to look at because they've had some movement in their executive ranks this year, obviously, with Jerry DePoto. And I think Toronto is a team you have to look at. Paul Beeston, who's been their longtime president, is leaving. At the end of the year, he's retiring. Dave Dombrowski was the president and the GM of the Tigers. So what does he want? Does he want to be just the president, president and GM? I think the Red Sox have been mentioned. That, to me, doesn't seem like as good of a fit. Just off the top of my head, I think the Angels and the Blue Jays would be two to look at.
Yeah, how about the Orioles, too? Especially, there's been talk that Dan Duquette might be an option for Toronto as well.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, you know, after Joe Maddon went to the Cubs and after some of the things we saw at the trade deadline and you know, the only thing I know about baseball is it's unpredictable. But I think Dave Dombrowski is one of the game's best executives, and I think he's an absolute class act. And this one feels to me, Rich, like it was a little more mutual, like it wasn't just straight firing. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, Dave Dombrowski is certainly going to have other opportunities. I don't think he's going to be looking for a job for very long.
No, not at all. Well, let's talk about your Toronto Blue Jays. My goodness, the big winners and then some at the trade deadline, getting three key pieces, and now they're in a position with, I think, 13 games left against the Yankees. Can they overcome that deficit and win the East?
I think it's possible. I think first and foremost, their fan base would just love to see them get into the playoffs. It's been 22 years, which is the longest active streak in baseball. And the last couple of years, and I'm not sure it's been fair, but the fans have been saying to Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, do more, do more. Now, two off seasons ago, he made two enormous trades with the Marlins and with the Mets, neither of which, in my opinion, has really panned out, although they've gotten some good players and they've gotten some value out of those guys, but they gave up a lot of prospects. But I think this year, with a lot of average teams in the American League, the wild card, certainly the second wild card, appears to be up for grabs. The Yankees looking very good, but not like a runaway team. I think, and Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, in the last year of his contract, I think he decided to go for it. The Tulowitzki deal came out of left field, no pun intended, but, you know, nobody saw that coming, nobody. And then to follow it up with David Price, I mean, this is not typically the way the Blue Jays do business. You expect to see, you know, Tulowitzki and Price land on teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, not the Blue Jays. And just as someone who lives here, you know, they've gone 6-1 since the Tulowitzki deal. And the clubhouse, you've got to imagine, you know, what the emotion and the morale is like in there. And the city is buzzing. I mean, they're selling tickets by the thousands right now. People who hadn't watched baseball in years are climbing back on the bandwagon.
Well, they've got those new acquisitions. They've got guys like Bautista and Encarnacion. But how important has Russell Martin been to this team?
Russell Martin has been tremendously important in a number of ways. He's a very good defensive catcher. I think he's a leader. I think he helps young pitchers get better. And I think he's got very high character. I mean, he's a guy who just wants to win. I mean, it really burns within him to win. And I think the acquisitions of Price, Tulowitzki, Martin, and Josh Donaldson in the offseason, the trade they made with Oakland, not only did they get four really good ball players, they got four guys who really care. And there was a perception, rightly or wrongly, I think around this team that, you know, what was going on in the clubhouse? Was everybody on the same page? Did they have to make some changes? They made some big changes in terms of talent and in terms of character guys. You know, Martin's been very important. Donaldson could win the MVP. I think Trout's the front runner. But if the Angels miss the playoffs and the Blue Jays make it, Donaldson's got, I think, 28 homers or 29 homers and 78 RBIs right now. I mean, he's had a phenomenal season. And you know, right now you look around the clubhouse and it's a lot different than it was just a few months ago.
Dan Shulman of ESPN with us here on Downtown. One of the fast-rising teams, the New York Mets. You were at Citi Field the other night. You could feel that buzz through the TV. What was it like in person?
It was fun, and buzz is a good word for it. You know, Mets fans, to me, different fan bases have different feelings to them in different sports. Mets fans, to me, have always felt a little bit like puppies. They'll wag their tail, and all they need is a little glimmer of hope, and they'll come right back over to you like a puppy will, just looking for, you know, looking for affection. They always want to believe the best in their team. There are some fan bases that, assume the worst is coming. And the Mets have been, they've had some bad, bad teams, you know, and they've had all kinds of things go on in their history. But their fans are so excited about this team. I mean, when you start with Syndergaard, Harvey, and DeGrom, you got something that most other teams don't have. Their offense has gone from historically bad to reasonably good in the last little while with the acquisitions of Johnson and Uribe and now Cespedes, of course. Clippard bolsters the bullpen. And the Nationals are scuffling. I mean, really, this shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about the Mets, but the Nationals, a combination of injuries, they've had a lot this year, and just guys underperforming. I mean, they're just not, they were supposed to run away with this division, but they've given the Mets hope. And those three young kids are fantastic. Nobody's got three young pitchers like the Mets do. And by next year, with Wheeler and Mats, it could be five. We could be looking at a phenomenal rotation for years to come for the Mets.
Well, it's been another nightmare season for Red Sox fans here in the Northeast. Are you as surprised by this awful Red Sox team as the fans here are?
A little bit. I didn't think they'd be this bad. I think, actually, if you go back, and this is why I don't like doing predictions, I think I actually had them as one of the wild card teams in the American League. And in hindsight, I never should have done that because the pitching just wasn't good enough, the starting pitching. And I was one of those guys saying they got five number threes. You know, who's the number one? As it turns out, five number threes would have been great, you know, given some of the things that happened that have happened. I mean, you know, Porcello's had a dismal year, Kelly in the minors. You know, whoever would have thought it would have been that bad. And you know, Ortiz, not as good as he normally has been. Napoli struggling until the last month. I mean, their best players are their younger guys, Betts and Bogarts. So I thought they would be better. And even in a month into the season, I would have said, you know what, they'll figure it out. They'll score enough runs. They'll be a 500 team. And it doesn't look like that at all. I mean, they're buried in the basement right now. And this will be the third, if they finish last, the third last place finish in 4 years. You know, mind you, the other one, they won a World Series, so it's not all bad. But, you know, given what they're spending and some of the moves they made, I mean, you look now at the Hanley Ramirez and the Pablo Sandoval signings. I mean, those could be really painful in a couple of years. They haven't been great this year, and they could be a lot worse in a couple of years. There's a lot of bad money being spent right now by the Red Sox.
Dan, we're seeing so much of remarkable young talent, guys under 25 years old who are so good in Major League Baseball. Who are a couple of the guys who have been most impressive to you this season?
Oh, Carlos Correa. I mean, he's pretty close to being the best shortstop in baseball. He will be in a year or two. The guy the Blue Jays picked up, we just talked about, Tulowitzki, if he's healthy, he's probably at the top of the list. But Carlos Correa, I actually met him briefly on opening day. I guess it was 2 years ago, if that makes sense. Right after the year after he'd been drafted, he was just a kid. I mean, he was going to the minors, but he was in the ballpark on opening day, and the guy just oozes baseball. I mean, he's impressive in every way, and you watch him play, and he doesn't look like he's 20 years old. I mean, he looks like a guy who's 28, 30 years old, who's been around big leagues for 8 or 10 years. I think the power is going to keep coming. The maturity is great. The defense is terrific. So, you know, he's obviously one guy that I love watching. And the Cubs are a really, really interesting team. I mean, Chris Bryant's had a very good season. I really like Addison Russell. I think at some point he's going to be their shortstop. I don't know what they're going to do with Castro, but I think somehow, some way, Castro's going to be in a different uniform next year, even though he's got a big contract. I think the Cubs want to move on from that. And then the Met pitchers we talked about. Syndergaard pitched in the game we had Sunday night. He's awesome. He's 6'6", 240, and throws 98. I mean, he's like they sculpted a pitcher in a lab or something and then turned him into a real person. He's pretty impressive.
Where will you be this Sunday night, Dan?
We will be in Pittsburgh Sunday and Friday, actually. We had a rainout in Anaheim, of all places, a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
The downside was we got rained on. The upside was when we get rained on, I guess we have the right to pick up another game. So we've got Dodgers and Pirates Friday and Sunday. And as of now, the Friday matchup is Clayton Kershaw and Garrett Cole. So that should be fun.
Not bad at all. Hey, by the way, our mutual friend Dave Gorin saw you were on the show today and said to make sure I passed along a hello from him.
Please say hello back. One of my favorite North Carolinians, if that's the way that you say it.
Absolutely. Dana, thanks as always for making time with us. We'll talk with you again.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Dan Schulman, ESPN Sunday night and this week Friday night baseball as well.